It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
And the regal music. There we are. Very good morning to you, Prime Minister Ardern.
Good morning. That sting always makes it sound more like I'm the Queen.
Your Highness. From Australia so quick.
Yeah, just a quick visit, because of course we've got today a visit from the President of Germany. Tomorrow the opening of Parliament and swearing ins and APEC on Thursday. So no time to hang about.
No, that's all hands to the pump, isn't it? How was Australia? It was a interesting little press conference to witness that one.
Yeah, I actually had two. One was with the Prime Minister and then one was just with New Zealand media, because there wasn't a chance for New Zealand media to necessarily get all of their questions in. But we covered a lot of ground. One of the issues that came up were things like, you know, Australia looking to make changes to the way their tertiary education policy applies to New Zealanders who might be over in Australia and have lived there for a while and are going on to study. Those changes at the moment are stuck in the Senate, so they haven't gone anywhere, but I did reiterate if they do, we would make moves here in New Zealand to treat Australians in the same way as they intend to treat New Zealanders, which I think is only fair.
Because your party campaigned on making changes to, or at least arguing the point with Australia, who have we've been getting the raw deal lately from our old cobbers, our old buddies, our good friends over there.
Look, they might argue that there are more of us over there than them here.
Happy to help.
On the whole, New Zealanders are earning more, paying more tax on average. I think acknowledging the contribution that they make as well.
Do you think made some inroads there?
I certainly made our position clear.
Nice.
And as I say, the policy at the moment is stuck in the Senate, and that means that at the moment it's not going anywhere. So, you know, we'll keep a close eye on it, but doing what we can.
So you stood up there in front of the world and said, look, we'll be more than happy to take some of these unhappy and attention getting refugees off you, you know, the ones who are making you look so bad, and we're happy to do that. As we promised the UN, we would do that. And how that didn't go down that well? Well, he basically said thanks, but no thanks.
For now. Yeah. And
it's kind of now that it needs to happen, though, isn't it?
Well, certainly. There's a need there right now. We certainly encouraged them as much as we could to take up that offer right now. But the focus for them at the moment is the agreement that they have with the United States at 1250, which of course gets them a lot further in resolving the issue that they have. That would include a substantial number then from Manus and Nauru. Of course, there's both that remain in need of resettlement. You know, point we made, you know, it is possible to do both, but at the moment that's where their priority is. It doesn't mean we won't be needed, and so I'm certainly going to keep an eye on the situation and keep encouraging the Australian government to take up our offer.
We've got one eye on that situation. You're going to have to keep an eye on this housing situation. Phil Twyford's given us new numbers, which from the MBIE, which include a 40,000-plus shortfall of housing. The government didn't tell us that. That's not what they said.
No, but add it to the list. I mean, you know, I was just reading a briefing, on the prison muster.
1,100 extras.
So 28% increase in the prison muster since 2014. You know, we would under those projections, we would be building prisons every 3 to 5 years. Now, we haven't had that same increase in crime. So the fact that the government just ignored the fact that we had that issue, didn't look at, you know, what we were doing to treat some of the issues around drug and alcohol use, deal with the remand issue, that's where a lot of that prison muster is coming from.
Sure.
Just keep saying that, just keep building prisons, so that we have one of the highest imprisonment rates in the OECD. When actually our crime rate doesn't justify that. The fact that they ignored that problem, I'm very aggrieved.
Flabbergasted. Use the word flabbergasted. Surely.
We're just inheriting all of these problems. They just weren't dealing with. That's the truth of it.
The prison thing's interesting. Does that mean that we are just, they've been more committed to just processing, getting numbers through the door? I guess when you're when you're thinking about privatising prisons, it's great to have lots of inmates because that keeps the prisons turning over. But it's does that mean, where do you think the, because that means somehow if there's less crime, we're processing, we're giving heavier sentences, or
and that's what I want to look at. What happened, you know, particularly since 2014, where we saw that 28% increase. And so, you know, one of the things, of course, we can look at is, you know, 90+% of those in prison have, you know, drug and alcohol issues, mental health issues.
Literacy was another one.
That too. But also that has, of course, an influence on our crime rate. So what are we doing to make sure that we're using the drug and alcohol courts more to address the cause of that offending? What kind of rehabilitation places do we have? One of the other issues is that some of our remand prisons actually just don't have houses, permanent addresses, to be released to. So that's caused a problem. I sat in on a parole hearing where the parole board said, look, you know, there's no reason for us to keep you anymore, but you've got nowhere to be paroled to, and therefore we won't release you. So prisons are the most expensive housing we have, but the housing crisis is having an effect right across the board. So
I wanted to Lisa Owen you then and come in and go, I need you to answer the question, though, Prime Minister. But you've come right round to it. So what is the serious problem of the housing shortage? There's no houses.
We just weren't building enough houses. That's it.
Were the government fudging the numbers on that, or were the previous government fudging the numbers on that? Or
from what I've seen,
did they try really hard and it just didn't happen?
No, from what I've seen, they just weren't being honest around the housing need and the undersupply.
That's a massive shitter to have to deal with, excuse my language, Prime Minister. That's really inheriting a massive problem. Are you guys up to it?
Well, we have to be. It's our job to be. And we've made housing a priority. So, you know, we've just got to get stuck in.
What's the first thing you do, though, when the numbers are so vastly different to what you're led to believe? What's the first thing you do? What are you doing today? What happens today about that?
Stopping selling state houses is a good start. There's 2,500 of them that they're trying to flick off down in Christchurch, that we've said that we don't want to do that. So there's a bit of a process to go to halt that. Secondly, set up our housing commission. That's the thing that's going to help us with some of that large-scale urban development, make sure that we just get on with expediting those builds. And actually building ourselves, that's a major difference between us and the previous government. Our view was when you've got a market failure, you've just got to get in yourself. That helps you build to scale as well. So doing that on large-scale planning, building, you know, using prefabricated housing and just getting on with it as quickly as we can.
Well, you're looking for sort of revolutionary ideas as far as building houses go, like super cheap ones or super small ones or sustainable
prefabs or something. We're open to lots of options, but you know it will take us a little bit to scale up. Over 3 years, we're hoping to get to about the 20,000 mark, but that does still mean we've got a gap. So, you know, looking at as many options as we have to make sure that just people are housed.
And the three strikes you're out thing, just to get back to the prisons portfolio there, that you, the wonderful Andrew Little now has and seems to be has received with gusto. You've put a cap on the fact that you're not going to build any more prisons? Is that right?
Yeah, we don't want to waste taxpayers' money on building more prisons. You know, we have you know, decent capacity in New Zealand. We've got to look at whether or not we're also making good use of things like drug and alcohol treatment programs and other alternatives. You know, what I would be really clear on, this does not mean that you have a country that is any less safe. You know, you can actually fulfill those crimes, make sure those people who need to be locked up long-term are, but without being on a continual trajectory of having just a higher and higher prison muster. So that's a challenge for us. But three strikes is an example, though, of stupid law that can lead to really bad outcomes. So we had a case not that long ago where the judge had no choice but to hand down a 7-year jail term to someone who, you know, of course shouldn't have done this, but pinched the bum of a corrections officer. 7 years. because of the three strikes legislation. And that judge was clearly did not want to hand that down. But that's when you remove the discretion of a judge and just say you've got no choice because Parliament's made this ideological decision, then you get dumb outcomes.
I know you've got to catch a plane, Prime Minister. Thank you very much for talking to us. We'll speak to you again this
Thanks
time.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Talk soon. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.